Side 6. 100 Years of Solitude by Gabriel Garcia Marquez. Continuing on page 217. For a moment, the inhabitants of Macondo took off their masks in order to get a better look at the dazzling creature with a crown of emeralds and an ermine cape, who seemed invested with legitimate authority and was not merely a sovereign of bangles and crepe paper. There were many people who had sufficient insight to suspect that it was a question of provocation. But Aureliano II immediately conquered his perplexity and declared the new arrivals to be guests of honor. And with the wisdom of Solomon, he seated Remedios the Beauty and the intruding queen on the same dais. Until midnight, the strangers, disguised as Bedouins, took part in the delirium and even enriched it with sumptuous fireworks and acrobatic skills that made one think of the art of the gypsies. Suddenly, during the paroxysm of the celebration, someone broke the delicate balance. "Long live the Liberal Party!" he shouted. "Long live Colonel Aureliano Buendia!" The rifle shots drowned out the splendor of the fireworks, and the cries of terror drowned out the music, and joy turned into panic. Many years later, there were those who still insisted that the royal guard of the intruding queen was a squad of regular army soldiers who were concealing government-issue rifles under their rich Moorish robes. The government denied the charge in a special proclamation and promised a complete investigation of the bloody episode. But the truth never came to light, and the version always prevailed that the royal guard, without provocation of any kind, took up combat positions upon a signal from their commander and opened fire without pity on the crowd. When calm was restored, not one of the false Bedouins remained in town, and there were many dead and wounded lying on the square. 9 clowns, 4 Columbines, 17 playing card kings, 1 devil, 3 minstrels, 2 peers of France, and 3 Japanese empresses. In the confusion of the panic, José Arcadio II managed to rescue Remedios the Beauty, and Aureliano II carried the intruding queen to the house in his arms, her dress torn and the ermine cape stained with blood. Her name was Fernanda del Carpio. She had been chosen as the most beautiful of the 5,000 most beautiful women in the land, and they had brought her to Macondo with the promise of naming her Queen of Madagascar. Ursula took care of her as if she were her own daughter. The town, instead of doubting her innocence, pitied her candor. 6 months after the massacre, when the wounded had recovered and the last flowers on the mass grave had withered, Aureliano II went to fetch her from the distant city where she lived with her father, and he married her in Macondo with a noisy celebration that lasted 20 days. The marriage was on the point of breaking up after 2 months because Aureliano II, in an attempt to placate Petra Cotes, had a picture taken of her dressed as the Queen of Madagascar. When Fernanda found out about it, she repacked her bridal trunks and left Macondo without saying goodbye. Aureliano II caught up with her on the swamp road. After much pleading and promises of reform, he succeeded in getting her to come home, and he abandoned his concubine. Petra Cotes, aware of her strength, showed no signs of worry. She had made a man of him. While he was still a child, she had drawn him out of Melquiades's room, his head full of fantastic ideas and lacking any contact with reality, and she had given him a place in the world. Nature had made him reserved and withdrawn, with tendencies toward solitary meditation, and she had molded an opposite character in him, one that was vital, expansive, open, and she had injected him with a joy for living and a pleasure in spending and celebrating until she had converted him, inside and out, into the man she had dreamed of for herself ever since adolescence. Then he married, as all sons marry sooner or later. He did not dare tell her the news. He assumed an attitude that was quite childish under the circumstances, feigning anger and imaginary resentment, so that Petra Cotes would be the one who would bring about the break. One day, when Aureliano II reproached her unjustly, she eluded the trap and put things in their proper place. "What it all means," she said, is that you want to marry the Queen.